Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You are listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. What's new at the Mormon Channel? We've posted a few episodes now of The District. The District goes inside the life of Mormon missionaries in an unscripted documentary that follows eight missionaries, male and female, serving in San Diego, California. You can find this on our website in the top ribbon under the section series. Check it out when you have a moment, and I hope you enjoy watching that one. And while I'm mentioning it, if you haven't had a chance to watch the latest Mormon message, which is called Enduring Love, check that out on our website as well. It is a really great story about long-lasting love. And if you didn't catch my interview with Bruce Newbold, who is the producer of that Mormon message, feel free to go back and look at that. You can always find the past episodes of Mormon Channel Daily archived on our website. How many of you out there listening to me today are hikers? I wish I could see you answer by a show of hands, but maybe you can send me an email later. I wanted to talk a little bit today about Mount Everest, and Mount Everest is the tallest mountain above sea level. It rises 29,035 feet above sea level. And in the last week of May, it was the 60-year anniversary of the time that the first pair of hikers made it to the very top. So that's kind of a monumental thing to summit Mount Everest and make that grueling climb. Since that time, more than 2,200 people have successfully made the climb, and nearly 200 have lost their lives attempting to climb Mount Everest. I was reading a website about some of the gear that the hikers need when they climb Mount Everest, and I wanted to tell you just a few. They need hiking boots, of course, but they also need plastic-lined climbing boots. They need a headlamp, glacier glasses, a water purifier, and then there's climbing tools such as an ice axe, and then things like lip balm, a first aid kit, and most hikers use supplemental oxygen when they're climbing Mount Everest. From home and back, most trips take about 2.5 months. I mention all of that detail because imagine making that climb with no arms. That happened for the first time in May of this year to a man named Sudarshan Gautam. Sudarshan is involved in a restaurant business and a car dealership, and he has a wife and a son. And he's the first one ever to summit Mount Everest not having both of his arms. That's quite an amazing feat. I thought that was really impressive. He had two people in front of him and two people behind him helping. But given all the gear that's needed to make that climb and the risks associated with it, and you think of all these people that have lost their lives trying to do that, it's neat to see someone triumph over those odds with an additional difficulty and make it. I thought it was a great story, and I wanted to share that with you today. I got that off a website called Global News, and it's a Canadian website. And it's called First Double Amputee to Climb Mount Everest Tells a Story, and it's from May 31st, 2013. This was obviously a goal that Sudarshan had, and I was thinking about how we work to achieve our goals, and sometimes it seems so monotonous and, you know, just the day after day of practicing for a sport or working on something, whatever it is that we might be doing. And I found a talk from President Henry B. Eyring, who is in the first presidency of the church. And it's from General Conference, April 1988, and it's called Because of Your Steadiness. And I wanted to play this for you in his own words now.
From the islands of the Pacific to the highlands of South America, I've seen boys working to turn dreams into reality. In fact, I've seen it so often that it merges into one image, one picture. It's of a small boy, maybe 9 or 10, in shorts, barefoot, and with a torn shirt. He's on a patch of dirt alone, and he's looking down at a white and black checkered ball. He takes a step toward it, his leg swings through, and the ball shoots off about 7 feet above the ground, where it might zip past a goalie into the net. Except there's no goalie and there's no net. There's just the boy and the ball. And then he runs to the ball, puts it in place with his foot, and kicks it. And he does it over and over again. You don't know where he lives, but you know he'll take that ball home with him. And that more than likely he keeps it near the place he sleeps. He sees it when he gets up and when he goes to bed. He may even dream about that ball shooting toward the goal. You know that because you've done something like that yourself. It may have been a basketball. I can remember looking down at the ball in my hands on one freezing winter day and seeing my bloody fingerprints on the pebbly brown surface. I'd been out so long that the cold had cracked the skin on my fingertips, but my mind and my eye were on the orange rim. I can still remember it, including the chipped paint on the front edge of the rim where you'd lock your eye and know the ball would fall just past that spot into the dirt-stained net. And I can still remember the mark on the driveway I'd dribbled to and know I was at the top of the key. I'd spin and jump for that last-second shot with the score tied, and I'd do it again and again, sometimes for hours, feeling neither time nor the cold. You may have learned endurance playing a trumpet or throwing a football or riding a bucking horse or drawing a picture, but you learned what we all did. Effort only now and then didn't take you far. The dreams that turned into reality stuck with you nearly all the time, and you worked at them, either in fact or in your thoughts, every day and almost every hour.
I liked that story. I didn't realize that President Eyring was a basketball player. The last line that I played for you, he says, "The dreams that turned into reality stuck with you nearly all the time." What is it that you're working on to try to achieve? It could be something for you personally, or maybe it could be something that you're helping your children to work on, an area that they're growing in, like sports or music or any number of areas. But the message I want to leave with you today is to keep going, keep practicing, keep trying, and make those dreams become a reality for either yourself or for someone around you that you love. I jokingly call my mom coach sometimes because every race I've run or every practice that I do, she'll always be there to encourage me. And so I think we can fall into one of two roles. Maybe we're the one working on something specific, or maybe we're the person who's cheering that person along. Both roles are needed and valuable. That's the message that I wanted to share with you today. Thank you for joining us. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with me, maybe about a sport or an instrument or even just a situation in everyday life that you've been working on, I'd love to hear about it. Send me an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I want to leave you with today is called "Where Can I Turn for Peace?" And it's featuring the group Voicemail. Thanks again for being with us, and have a great day.